Snack Bar Games Podcast.
And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is episode 253. I am Graham, and this episode we're going to talk about lots of games we've been playing, you know, news, game stuff. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk about everything we talk about, except slightly different.
Right, so yes. That is Andrew. Andrew.
Hey. Hi.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I am now a proud owner of a 3DS XL.
Okay.
He likes handheld games again.
We wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. I mean, I can play them, I guess. The 3DS XL is awesome. I really like them. I really like it. Sorry, them. I don't know.
How many did you buy?
I went to GameStop and I was like, how many 3DS XLs do you have? Oh, we got about 5. I'll take them all. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Pikachu
so,
now you can street pass yourself.
I could, yeah.
Oh man, you get all the puzzle pieces so quickly.
Uh oh, it would just give you an idea.
Oh, I already had that idea, but mine involves an import 3DS. We'll see. The exchange rate's looking really good, and now I just need to find a place that sells it online for MSRP. But we'll see. Hey.
Good luck with that one.
Also joining us in the episode, Sean, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Yeah.
Guess what I did yesterday?
No, just tell us.
Okay. Well, I managed to become possibly the first person to injure my toe while changing a brake light.
That's probably not true.
It had nothing to do with the brake light part, though. Okay. I never touched the car with the toe.
Did you have frustrations and then kick the car?
No, I didn't touch the car with the toe at all.
Do you know what happened to your toe, or do you just look down and be like, my toe's broken?
I stubbed it on the asphalt.
Okay.
Oh,
because my shoe fell off when I was kicking the ground.
What?
Great. Also joining this week is Henry. Hey, Henry. How's it going?
Hey. Well, it's pretty good. I have gotten over the frustration of Witcher 2. I was dying a lot, and I discovered that I was playing on a normal difficulty setting. And then I switched it to easy because I'm not, you know, I can swallow my pride and realize that a game has bested me. But then I was shocked to realize that there's a hard mode. And then I'm assuming if you beat the game, there's something even more difficult than that. So that knocked me down a peg or two on the gaming totem pole. But on easy mode, really enjoying the game.
The Witcher 2 is not an easy game. Unless you play on easy.
I'm glad to hear that.
Even on easy, it can be tough because I had to drop it down to easy for a few fights. Oof,
okay. Yeah, I mean that's just a standard translation issue, you know.
Oh.
It's some weird Eastern European, you know, in its original Polish, you know, easy, normal. It's hard to explain.
Graham, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah,
thanks very much. happy to be here.
And joining us this week is Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Hey. Okay.
Pretty good this week. Lots of games.
Yeah. Great. So, Sean, let's go ahead and get into the news.
All right. Well, we got some good news and bad news this week.
No, only good news.
Well, I'm not sure the first one's good news. We had Disney close LucasArts.
Yay!
No, Graham, no. Bad.
No, that's bad.
Well,
bad.
No, see, you said I said only good news, and then you said that, so...
No, he said he wasn't sure if it was good. And it's
no,
not.
So here's the thing. I feel bad for those people. You know, I'm sure 1313 was going to be interesting. I don't so much mourn the current LucasArts. I think,
no.
You know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, man, LucasArts is gone. Really? Well, I mean, yeah, they were doing, like, that game. But, I mean, when you look at the Star Wars games that have been developed internally and the Star Wars games that have been developed by outside sources, the outside ones tend to be better. And except then Star when Wars people fan. Look back to like, oh man, LucasArts games, what they're really talking about is like point-and-click PC adventure games before 1995.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah.
No, hey, no. That's okay. LucasArts game is a game called Grim Fandango that came out in 98. Thank you very much.
Okay. Really? No. Better than Star Wars Episode 1 Racer? Thousand.
Okay. I will admit, eternally. Episode yeah. 1 Racer is pretty awesome, but okay. I have a soft spot for Grim Fandango. That is the game that got me into adventure games.
Yeah,
that's still 15 years ago.
I know, yeah. It was made by people who haven't worked at LucasArts in a very long time and pretty much are doing better things, almost as good things at other companies. So,
like, I hate when studios close.
Oh, yeah.
But two things here. One, when Disney bought LucasArts, there was all that, like, we're going to focus on, like, shutting down the expanded universe and then using licensing like crazy on the core films to do that stuff. So, like, a non-licensed, internally developed expanded universe game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of had a ticking clock on it.
I always feel sad when developers or studios close, rather, because it's never out with a bang. You know what I mean? It's never like, we've made the greatest game ever and now we're done. It's always,
well, here's the thing that happens.
The developer
sometimes
was really great and then does it? I guess when they get bought out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there are any like last projects that are great, because what happens is usually a studio does a great project and then like does like a mediocre project that they were doing to pay the bills, and then that doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Every company I think of, even my favorites that have gotten shut down or kind of bought and rebranded, they their last game was not good.
Yeah.
I thought back to
Bizarre Creations. I know I brought them up a lot, but like Blur was amazing, but then they made Bloodstone.
Bloodstone was okay, but Bloodstone was
fine,
not,
right? But it's not like, look at the best thing. Oh, no. But you know,
okay, like LucasArts' last game was Kinect Star Wars, and then Rare. I can't believe Rare. I mean, that's just so unfair. They had such a great history, but you're right. It was like the games people remember LucasArts mainly for are so old that it's just sort of.
Well, I mean,
putting them
Rare.
To die.
Rare is. I mean, Rare is technically still around. They haven't been the Rare we know in a long time. But
I'm assuming Rare's last game will not be its best game.
Yeah, assuming they make another game again.
But my second point was that, you know, like, as bad as it was that they were, you know, they're gone, I feel like it was a worse moment for me personally and for gaming when, say, Battlefront 3 was canceled.
Battlefront 3 could have been awesome.
Like, I feel like those projects probably better than...
Well, Battlefront 3 kind of, yeah. Well, yeah. That goes without saying. But I think Battlefront 3 kind of had, even not looking at the trouble at LucasArts, but even before the Disney buyout, Battlefront 3 kind of had a troubled development with, because it was originally a Free Radical project.
Yeah.
They were developing alongside their last game, Haze, you know, that masterpiece.
Halo killer.
It's all connected. No, Killzone's the Halo killer. Haze is just it's a game.
Great. So Haze is a game. More news, Sean.
More news. Shin Megami Tensei 4 is coming out this summer.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! I know nothing about it, but I'll try to make it my first mainline SMT game.
Let me start, and Andrew can elaborate, because he knows
most
about this.
I know it's not like Persona. That's about all.
Yeah, so it is the, I mean, the thing is, you know, the Shin Megami Tensei series has been around forever, but this is Shin Megami Tensei 4, and that's weird, because the first two games were, like, back-to-back on the Super Famicom, and then there was basically nothing, and those never came out here, and then, for some reason, we got the PS2 game. I don't know why, but whatever.
I'm happy about that, yeah.
Yeah, but so then this is the next Shin Megami Tensei game. Which I'm not sure what fans think about that, but it's interesting. And the interesting thing about this is it's not out in Japan yet, right?
It will be out
next month.
I think it actually it might be this month, maybe next month. It'll be out very soon. So.
Either way, the localization process is accelerated. That we're getting it in
which
June.
Is great.
Yeah. And it's also has a MSRP of $50. Which I think is acceptable.
Yeah.
People are going to get mad about that. I mean, you know what? People are kind of even like, oh, Square Enix sacks. This thing's $5 more. Yeah. If anyone, even with this great exchange rate right now, anyone wants to look at Japanese game prices where like RPGs don't sell for below $90.
Like
it's tell Atlas, but I mean, I would be willing to pay a full $60 for this game, but don't let them know.
I don't think they listen to this.
I'm pretty sure they do listen to this.
Well, we are a pretty large collection.
Okay, so we're basically saying that the game is now going to be $60. I apologize in advance, but
they're just going to charge you $60.
Oh, okay, well, that's fine. I'll throw $10 extra at them. Sure.
Yeah.
Bring over next Shin Megami Tensei game.
But yeah, and speaking of Shin Megami Tensei games, we will talk about something later in the podcast on that. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. It also has Shin Megami Tensei in the title. It's like it's connected or something.
So Tensei.
Weird.
Yes, so Tensei.
It's almost like they're part of a series.
I don't believe more news, Sean.
Yes.
More news. We're getting a new Batman game, Arkham Origins.
Yep.
It will be released on all the systems, including the Wii U. For once.
All the systems.
All of the systems that are out at this moment, yes.
Yes. All the systems we know of that are active and not obsolete.
Or that aren't out yet.
Right.
I am absolutely thrilled. I don't know if you guys played the other Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yeah. Hello, hi.
On Cryobla, the only thing I'm worried about, the only thing, is that I hope they don't sort of... They keep making them over and over and over, and they sort of, I don't know, lose their luster. You know, I don't necessarily want one coming out every year and then sort of drive the franchise into the ground.
Well, the thing is this, well, first of all, it's not being developed by Rocksteady, the company that made the first two. They're doing something else. Maybe Batman related, maybe not. Some people think they're making a Superman game. I don't know.
Ninja Turtles. Sure.
I said that, but I don't know anything, so.
That's clear. I'm not sure if Sean has processed that rumor yet for the speculator, but WB in no way has the license to do a Ninja Turtles game, so they're not making a Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, that rumor's gone. It already hurt my score, so I'm good.
Yeah, Activision locked that up for years, so that's what's happening with that. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so Rocksteady's not making it, so that is a little worrisome. It's being made by the same company that did the Wii U version of Arkham City, which was a great version of that game, but it was, you know, it was passable. I don't know what the problem was, if it was a problem on their end, or they were kind of just throwing it together. I don't know what happened there. But, the second thing is, this feels like they're kind of pushing this out just before the end of the generation.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's probably...
I mean, we've seen this before, you know?
Like
this is just what happens to franchises when the main team wants to move on. I mean, I guess the most recent example is the whole Halo 4 thing, where it's like, okay, Bungie wants to do other stuff. We want Bungie to do other stuff. All right, let's form this like other thing. Like, what is so it's Montreal, right? Is working in
Montreal, another studio in Montreal.
So usually, what happens with stuff like this is that they'll get like lead designers to at least like work on or consult on and generally do the main design for it. It's just a lot of the 98% of the game that's not creative is being done by the studio, and that part's fine. You know, and getting used to building those worlds and working within those engines and things like that. I'm happy that you know they go ahead and do that. We get more of that game, so if people want that, and then, you know, Rocksteady gets to keep making games. It's not like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I like that model. I have heard a lot of grumbling about that, but I think it's a good way to handle that kind of thing rather than to just run the same designers into the ground over and over again.
I agree. I think they clearly built this kind of the studio up from the ground up to work on Batman, at the very least, or at least to work on some Batman stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't doubt this will be at least a good game. I'm just worried that this is going to be the start of what could be the downfall of Batman. just in general, actually. You know what? This is it. This is the end.
Yeah.
We will not be saying, and also Batman. We'll probably be saying, and also.
This is the story arc.
Yeah. Well, and actually, no, this is the prequel. This is the prequel.
But
yeah, I don't know.
Are you... Are you saying we're going to be in a world where we might say, and also Aquaman?
Yes, and also Aquaman. I was actually thinking of saying that, but I thought that would have been too ridiculous. But I'm glad you said it for me. And also Aquaman.
Okay, stop now. too much. So, Sean, there is another Batman project happening as well, yes?
Yes, we're also getting one for the 3DS and Vita.
So the Vita and 3DS version of the game, being developed by Armature Studio, the former Metroid Prime developers, is Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate, which is yet another unwieldy portable game title, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But it seems to take it in a very, like, it seems very Shadow Complex, like very... like modern combat version of Metroidvania, you know, 2.5D kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which I think could be cool. I'm actually a little more interested in that than the main console version, because that sounds like something entirely different.
Yeah.
And you know, have they put out anything? Is this going to be their first project? Because I know they're working on that first person Mega Man game that we just heard about recently that got canceled, but.
Sorry, that was hilarious, the game.
Oh yeah, that was weird. I don't. But anyway, but no, I mean, like, has this specific studio? I know the people from that studio were once part of Retro. They worked on Metroid Prime, but have they? Is this going to be their first game? Do we know?
This is their first original title. I know they handled the Vita port of the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection.
Okay.
So yeah, they've been doing some contract work, which is, well, generally what studios do.
Yeah, yeah.
For
okay.
a while.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sean.
All right. Next we have Project X Zone has a release date here.
Project Cross Zone, Sean. Because it's crossing. Very close.
All right. Well, we're getting it on June 25th.
Yeah.
So the summer is becoming increasingly crowded. For handheld owners.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
That's fine.
I'm interested in that game. I don't know if I want it, but I probably will buy it because I want to support Namco for kind of releasing this crazy thing here in the States.
In case you're not familiar with this project, though, I think we mentioned it a couple times. Project Cross Zone is a tactical RPG with action-based battles that is a crossover between Namco, Bandai, Sega, and Capcom. And from what I can tell, it's very interesting. I mean, Namco and Capcom have worked together previously on what basically is the predecessor to this game, Namco Cross Capcom for the PS2, which we did not get due to licensing reasons, which is weird while we're getting this, because they did have to relicense everything. But the Sega characters that have been added seem to very intentionally be like super Japanese Sega characters. For one thing, the trailers that they're putting out have Kurt, the protagonist from Valkyria Chronicles 3, and Sakura from the first four, but not the fifth Sakura Wars game. So all the ones we didn't get.
So that means Graham is buying it.
I'm absolutely buying it.
That's a given.
I'm probably buying it, but I don't have a clue who anyone is in it.
Well, I'm sure you do. Because they're Street Fighter characters.
I'm vaguely.
You may have heard
of
Ryu from Street Fighter.
Yeah,
he's
definitely in there.
Mega Man X, I believe, is in there.
Right.
Yeah, never played Mega Man.
Weary's in it from.
I know who he is. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Good.
Okay.
I was worried for a second.
But yeah, like but like there's like characters from Resonance of Fate and like, but not Sonic. Under no circumstances is there Sonic. Or like Ryo Hazuki, or like, but basically like the entire cast of like the Sega All-Stars games, where there's the tennis or the racing, none of those that you would recognize are in this game.
Is Vice in it?
Like, I'm surprised they didn't put it like Vise or somebody in there. Like, nope. I know Ulala is in both those games. Never mind. Okay. Totally has Ulala.
But the other people were too busy racing; they couldn't fight.
It's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Now I'm just naming characters.
Is Danica
characters and stuff. There are some Tails characters, but I'm trying to remember who they are.
Is Danica Patrick in it?
Danica is not in this game.
She's in the DLC.
Oh, okay.
And but yeah, so this game is developed by Monolithsoft. So
yeah.
You know, if you like Xenoblade, this is not like it, but the same people also the people who work for the same company that probably aren't the same people also did this. So that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll talk about that game when it comes out, I guarantee you.
Probably more than most other people. All right. Yeah, next we have
other people.
Yes. Next we have a Flashback remake. It's coming this summer to Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
Yep.
This looks interesting. Maybe. I love Flashback. I really, really like Flashback. I like it more than Out of This World or Another World, however you, whatever you want to call it. But
I don't know where those are.
those are basically the precursors to Flashback. Or that is the precursor to Flashback.
Does that help?
Just under different titles.
Does not help either. I didn't know what Flashback was before I saw this.
Sean, you don't know video games. It's fine. But it's being developed by the studio that developed that horror game that came out. Was it this January or was it last January? That
Amy?
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not the most quality game from what I've heard. So
not really.
Not exactly excited about this, but I will check it out because I love Flashback and I feel obligated to at least give it a try.
Yeah.
But that's that. Woo.
Yeah, I don't think we should talk about that anymore because clearly we're not going to say positive things. Sean, what else is going on?
All right, next, we have more Rayman Legends news for you guys. Ooh. This was good news, though. Because of the delay, we're getting 30 extra levels.
That's cool.
And some
more
bosses.
A lot of levels.
So here is what I have heard about that. A lot of the Wii U levels, from what has been said and what has been released and what we've been able to play, are heavily dependent on the gamepad.
Not surprised.
So, from what I have heard, these 30 levels were basically designed to replace those levels in the PS3 and 360 version so that it's playable, but they're going to go ahead and put those in the Wii U version anyway. I don't know how that's going to work.
I'm okay with that.
I worry a bit that like all of the ones that make it interesting on the Wii U are going to be like put aside in some sort of special mode or something.
Yeah, I hope not.
But, yeah, so that like, basically, they had to make 30 levels. But it is interesting that they've set up this framework to where they can really, like, make, like, that much game in just a couple months. So,
I'm wondering how accurate that is. I mean, usually when you hear a game gets delayed, it's usually because they'll say, oh, well, the game isn't quite up to where we want it to be or something like that. It's very odd that they gave sort of a specific amount of extra levels they're putting into the game.
Well, I mean,
I find it a little suspicious.
Well, I mean, Ubisoft was very clear when when the delay was first made that the Wii U version was ready, but the PS3 and 360 versions just hadn't really been made yet because they just kind of made the decision to port it, and they want to release all the versions at the same time.
I think the Wii U could have used exclusivity early on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I almost wonder if it would have gone ahead and come out early if the Wii U had sold a little bit better.
I think so.
Or maybe a lot better.
Probably not a lot better. As much as I love that game, I think it's going to be great. It's not the system seller in the way that like a 3D Mario game is. Or, well, actually, no. 2D Mario games sell better than 3D Mario games. It's not what Nintendo needs, but it would have helped with the conversation. There's like, oh, what's that on Wii U? Like, as a punchline. But if you said Rayman Legends, then that would have cut a lot of those conversations off. So
yeah, because again, the Rayman Legends demo, the second demo, I should specify, was our game of the year, our Wii U game of the year last year. Just to remind everyone. So yeah, Rayman Legends, that's gonna be great. Yeah. I hope.
Good.
Should be. All
right, moving on.
Moving on, last thing we have is Splinter Cell Blacklist is also coming to the Wii U. So, yay! I'm not sure how that will work.
I don't care.
Well, I know you don't. You don't care for Tom Clancy type games.
Now, here's the thing. I mean,
step one.
This is gonna be the thing. I mean, I guess I'm glad that the Wii U is getting the games that the 360 and PS3 are, because it will help the library. But if the game has, like, for 95% of its development, not at all factored in the gamepad, I don't really want the Wii U version of that game.
No. I don't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Great.
It's kind of run into this problem where developers, well, Nintendo wants third-party support for the Wii U, but
yeah,
it seems like nobody wants, no third parties want to support it, and when they do, it's going to be a version that doesn't actually use the features of the Wii U to make it stand out. So
I mean,
at that point,
if the game has off TV play, that's the one where it's really easy to just implement it and it's good. And I think there have been a couple of ports that have done well with that sort of implementation. Like, I think Need for Speed Most Wanted did some really interesting stuff. I don't think that two-player mode that it came up with is any good, where one person basically is using it as a GPS, like in the passenger seat, which I just drive.
That's an idea, I guess.
It is.
That was the Game Boy Advance. I remember that.
But I mean, they put a lot of menu items in there and optimize it for the system, and there are some things you can do. But with like a single player just action game like that, it's like well, great. I mean, it's going to be the same as Batman was, and Deus Ex is going to be. And it's like, yep, great. I don't really care.
Yeah, the whole cycle is restarting with the Wii U. Eventually, we're going to have two new consoles and the Wii U that's not quite as powerful getting all of the B-list games.
Yeah, the one thing I do hope with the Wii U is that it becomes... I mean, it got some of this in the previous generation, but I think it'll be a little easier for this to happen now, as even though it's less powerful, it still has the visual fidelity.
Not nearly as...
Like the Wii, and really what kept the PSP alive in the previous generation was that developers could not invest in crazy amounts of extra resources and kind of still make the same games it was making before, but just put them on, put them on the PSP or the Wii. Like, for example, when we got the Wii port of Soccer Wars, I'm gonna bring that up again. that game never escaped that generation.
No,
but it could just, hey, we're just gonna do the same thing over here, and we got a couple games like that, and I think it would be fine if it's like, well, we just don't have the budget to make a PS4 game. Well, you can just use the same engine on the Wii U, so why don't you just do that? It works. Focus on games.
Nearly as wide this time.
Yeah. And that's why I think it'll be more successful, because it can look very nice. If they weren't trying to be visually impressive, then it just being on one of the systems that you still keep hooked up to your TV is the goal. So, I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Any more news, Sean?
I could tell you that Planes is coming to the Wii U and 3DS, but I don't know if any of us care about that either.
Yeah,
it's also coming to the Wii.
Oh man!
Really? That's gonna
didn't
be
we,
the last.
Didn't game? We well, say
let's
game of the year? Avoid.
That film was written originally as a direct to DVD spinoff of the Cars series, and now it's gonna be like a theatrical trilogy.
It's gonna be
and
a trilogy.
Also, it changed lead voice actors between like the end of last year and the beginning of this year, which is a thing you can do with animated films, but it is also just kind of weird.
So when they gutted their hand-drawn animation department, did they also get rid of the people that had ideas?
Well, so here's the thing. I will say this.
Maybe?
I mean, releasing it theatrically is weird, but basically I just don't care. But the studio that's working on this is like I forget the name of the studio. It's like their Toon Studio that basically... It was the one they formed to do all those like direct to DVD sequels to classic Disney films, like The Little Mermaid 2 and stuff like
and
that.
And 3.
And 3. But then, like, for the last 5 years, I think all that studio has been doing is making Tinkerbell movies.
They have a lot of those, yes.
So, I don't know. I couldn't possibly be doing anything better than this, so why not just let them do this? But I don't
feels
care.
Like the, that feels like the animation equivalent of making Xbox 360 avatar items.
Yeah, well, no, it's the equivalent of making, like, Android games.
Or making Wii versions of Wii U games.
Hmm. No, making the versions of the games.
Oh god, no.
DS versions of
No, this is not getting a DS for this is there's no DS version, just 3DS. But there isn't gonna be a Wii version. Maybe it's because they were working on the Wii version for such a long time and then just said, let's just finish it, because I don't know.
It works in any licensed Wii game for any amount of time. I don't
Okay. Yes, I take that part back, but they were working on it.
Will it run? Okay, it's done.
Okay, we got, well, sometimes that's, again, there's
no, that's not a,
anymore.
Churn and burn is now called run and done.
Okay, with that, let's move on.
Let's do it. Are we ready to talk about some games, guys?
I don't know. Have you played anything?
I've been ready.
I have never played a game in my life, but I do enjoy
Welcome
hearing
to the podcast.
You guys talk about the games you are playing recently. Because we don't really have the time to talk about every single game all five of us have played, because we'd be here.
Let's just do it.
For a very long time.
Let's just talk about all the games.
Well,
me.
The first
I
game
a lot of games,
played
I played
was
them.
Tetris on the Game Boy. And that was... Okay, no, we won't get it.
I could talk about Tetris on the Game Boy for an hour and a half.
Style.
I was just, so we already kind of
did that. Host. Who do I like them all? I like everybody, so I can't. We'll scrap that criteria. Andrew, let's start with you, because I hear you've been playing a game. Wait,
Andrew.
What?
Andrew, yeah. He didn't actually scrap that criteria. He doesn't like you very much.
That's true. It's actually the opposite.
I did turn Henry into Cthulhu, so I mean, I can understand.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with you about that. We'll get to that after the podcast. I've got a lot of problems. Anyway, Andrew, you have been playing Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers.
Yeah.
Please tell me that's the end of the title.
Take a
break. Subtitle.
Take a breath, please.
Hang on, I'll be right back, guys. Words. I gotta take a breather.
Yeah.
Andrew, how was the latest Shin Megami Tensei game?
I'm just gonna call it Soul Hackers for the sake of our sanity.
Call it SMTDSSH. That debishes you.
No.
Like something Cthulhu would say.
Okay, we'll
call
it.
It's not like something Cthulhu would say. Yeah.
What are you gonna call it? Soul Hackers or Devil Summoner?
I'm just going to call it Soul Hackers because
Soul Hackers, all right.
Lead
on us there, bud.
Yeah, and I also don't want to get into a Shin Megami Tensei history lesson because you will be here all day also.
I need one of those.
You could.
You need a lot of history lessons.
Yeah.
Anything... Not just about video games, actually. That's the thing.
I kid. You're a good guy. All right.
Okay, so yeah. Soul Hackers, as we're going to refer to it from now on, is... Sure. This is an updated version of a game that came out in the mid-90s for the Saturn and the PS1, and it never came out here, although there was, I think they did plan on releasing it here, but I don't know, something happened. It didn't happen. So now we're finally getting it here in 2013. This is kind of like an old-school dungeon crawler with, you know, Shin Megami Tensei sensibilities, so it's, you know, you got your demon fusing and whatnot, and it holds up surprisingly well. I am one of the crazies who has an import Saturn version, and I've played it before. I knew what to expect going in, and it still feels like an old school dungeon crawler. You enter a dungeon, you're in first person mode, you explore the dungeon. As you're exploring, the map on the bottom the S screen fills out, and you run into, you know, traps and monsters and whatnot, and then the twist is with, you know, any Shin Megami Tensei game, at least turn-based in nature, is once you run into a party of demons, you can talk to them. And when you talk to them, you can kind of convince them to let you go, or sometimes they'll give you an item, or sometimes they'll just flat out join your party. And you kind of have to, when you're talking to them, you kind of have to pick conversation options that you know that type of demon would like to hear. So that is kind of a neat twist, because it doesn't, because when you run into a battle, you're not just like, oh, I got to fight these guys again. You can actually look at your options and say, oh, maybe I can talk to these guys, get out of the battle, or even better, get something out of this battle without actually having to fight them. So kind of, it kind of eliminates a little bit of the grind Whereas, like, in a traditional dungeon crawler, you just be, you know, a few steps, fight, a few steps, another fight, and then you get to the end of the dungeon, and that's that. So that is, I've always loved that. That's one of the things I love about these games. And it's still great here, you know. The localization is kind of hilarious, because the demons all, they're just weird. They're just, like, weird people. I don't know. It's like, if I'm sure if Henry was in this game, he would be a demon, and he would have a weird personality, and I'd have to try to convince him to join my team. I don't know if he would, though. I don't know what
Why would I be a demon? Why wouldn't I be, like, the cool, charming guy who gets all the ladies?
There's kind of a guy like that, but he's also gets possessed by a demon, so you're not gonna...
That sounds like me. I get persuaded to do things very easily. I always thought I had a weak psychological defense against, like, regular people. Demons would eat me alive, like, literally and figuratively. I'd have no chance.
They probably would. There are demons with skills that just called eat whole, and they just, like, take a giant bite out of your party, and it hurts.
That sucks. Assuming,
yeah.
Andrew, is this a Atlas developed game?
Yes, this is one of the old school Megaten games. So it's it really kind of follows a lot of the sensibilities from the games that we never really got, like the first two. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
yes,
and the first Devil Summoner.
Yes, and the first Devil Summoner. And
by the way, that's why this game is called that, Devil Summoner Soul Hackers, is because it's kind of Devil Summoner 2.
Yes, it is basically Devil Summoner 2. Although,
and then we got the Devil Summoner on the PS2.
Yeah, Devil Summoner games that aren't anything like these ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, history lesson. Don't want to get into that. But yeah, so this game's a lot of fun, and once you get demons in your party, you can fuse them, and then based on your fusion,
fuse them, or you confuse them.
You can confuse them, and you can fuse them.
You can do both.
Yes, it's
now that's just confusing.
Yes. So if I were to fuse, let's say Henry and Sean, I would get.
Can you?
I could try, but.
Well, he can confuse us. He's done that.
Can you fuse them?
I can fuse them, but sometimes the results aren't always great. So I don't want to know what would happen with that. But
Andrew, does this have the traditional Atlas difficulty? I'm guessing it does.
That is a great question, because this game is, I would say, based on, let's say, a similar game, I'm gonna say Strange Journey on the DS. That game is brutally difficult. At least it can be once you get into it. Soul Hackers is still pretty difficult, and the random encounters are almost a little too frequent, which I kind of expect personally. But if people
ever
are picking this up,
ever is too frequent.
Well, I'm sorry, you're not going to like this game if you don't like random encounters, because they're everywhere. But hey, you can talk to demons instead of fighting them, so there's that.
And I confuse them.
Yeah, and you can fuse them, and you can confuse them. So you can confuse them by fusing them, too. So it can be difficult, but it's definitely not anywhere near as tough as Strange Journey or some of the older Shin Megami Tensei games. But the good thing is there are these things they added to this version called modifiers, which you can use to decrease the difficulty or increase it if you're insane. You can make the entire map for each dungeon display automatically. So when you enter a dungeon, you don't need to fill out the map by walking everywhere. You could just see the whole map. You can also, you know, kind of change how like when you can fuse demons and when you can fuse demons. I just want to be clear here. You can confuse demons whenever you want, assuming it works. So there are things that make it a little easier. It's again, it might not be for everyone, but if you love dungeon crawlers and you have any experience with the series.
So, I mean, the Shin Megami Tensei has a, you know, rich, rich history on handhelds. Especially, in 3D, you know? So how does this compare to classic 3D portable Shin Megami Tensei game Jack Brothers for the Virtual Boy?
Oh, well, I see that you found the hole in my Shin Megami Tensei history, because I've never played Jack Brothers. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, but like, no one played it because it's like one of the rarest games ever. No,
you haven't even played it.
I haven't. No, I don't have like crazy money.
I know, but if you came across a copy, you would totally buy it, right?
Yes.
Assuming it wasn't, like, outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageously priced.
It's already pretty outrageous.
It's already pretty outrageous because it's on the virtual boy.
No, yeah, no, it is kind of interesting because, you know, it, like, I don't know, it's weird because Shin Megami Tensei just kind of found a home on the 3DS in a lot of ways. Even though like the Persona series hasn't really ever touched a Nintendo system, it seems like, you know, since the PS2, the main series is. I'm trying to think the games that have released. You know, you're talking Strange Journey, you're talking Devil Survivor 1 and 2, you're talking Soul Hackers, Devil Survivor Overclocked came out, and they're making another 3DS enhancement of that DS game, and then Shin Megami Tensei 4. It's
so
interesting. And then, you know, the Fire Emblem crossover will be for the Wii U. Like, it's interesting that has gone that way and the Persona has gone the Sony way. As someone who's fans of both series, do you think there's a reason for that as far as the gameplay itself?
You could make the argument that the more traditional Shin Megami Tensei games are kind of like Pokemon.
Okay.
That's the best I've got, actually. I mean, I think games like Soul Hackers really work well on the 3DS because it is a pretty simple kind of old 2D like dungeon crawler, and it seems like the Etrian Odyssey games. Those have done really well on the DS and 3DS.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just it seems like a natural fit versus, I mean, a Persona. When I think of Persona, I think of that being kind of like the current gen / maybe eventually next gen Shin Megami Tensei franchise, because that's the one that makes the most money. But sure. These ones kind of like they find a home on portable systems because, you know, they're yeah. for such a specific audience. And
also, I think very specifically, well, I mean, maybe I'm not as familiar with the first two Persona games, but at least 3 and 4 are very, very focused on a slick aesthetic.
Yeah,
that I think benefits with having visual fidelity. Whereas, like, any of your standard Shin Megami Tensei games, it's like, well, I don't know. Can you put text on the screen? Okay, yeah. Well, you're good.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point, too. Like I said, I think the Persona games are the higher budget ones for a reason. And not to say that a Persona game on the Wii U, for example, would be out of place, but I don't know. That just seems, it seems like that, that seems like a better fit for a Sony system, or perhaps even PS4. Who knows what's happening with Persona 5?
A Sony system, or perhaps even PS4. On that
Andrew,
note,
one
let
thing,
somebody else talk.
One thing is for sure, I would not cast Confuse in that game because I have long ago stopped casting status effect spells in games because I feel like they never work when you want them to.
Are there even those kind? I mean, from what I've played of Shin Megami Tensei games, they tend to do less of that mass status effect things and more like, oh, well, these attacks are weaker but may have a status effect, or these attacks don't.
There are special moves that can confuse enemies, but they don't. They flat out say this doesn't have a chance to do it, but you know it's possible and it'll also damage them too. It's not just like specific moves that'll cast status effects.
All right, well, let's move on. It's time to hear from our esteemed leader, Graham, who has been playing a game with a wicked title.
Sure. I mean,
on the quality of the game.
I feel like the title is not nearly as wicked as Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers. That sounds pretty wicked.
Well, this is pretty cool, though.
But Battle Block Theater is pretty great.
Battle Block Theater.
Yeah, so this is the third game from the Behemoth. They made Castle Crashers 5 years ago, so now they have another game that they've been working on.
That is a much easier history lesson than the Shin Megami Tensei history lesson.
Yes, though I could go into the nuances of, you know, the first collaborations on Newgrounds and Dad and Me. I could go and do that. Do you want me to talk about the game that came out?
Let's talk about
the
game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing about this game is, I mean, yes, it's by the last game they made was Castle Crashers, but this feels a lot more an aesthetic and humor and really gameplay. Feels more like Alien Hominid the first game.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot sillier, I guess. But
this was pretty silly.
Yeah. So, well, yes. But it kind of relied on like specific gags and not like weird characters and weird voice acting and things. There's a lot of this that's just suggestive, okay, more of original stuff.
Okay.
But so how this works is there's kind of two games to this game. One is this like traverse these levels quickly and collect the items game, which is this single player / two player cooperative game. And I mean the thing with that is, you know, you can basically just get through and collect everything. But you know that you get a bonus for doing it quickly each time. But the real meat of this game is this crazy arena mode, where they're just crazy amounts of game types. The whole thing is that you're in an arena of some sort. You're in like a single screen playfield, and there are blocks. That's kind of the only like thread between all of them.
Do battles happen on these blocks?
Sometimes. So let me just go through some of the types of games there are. Some of it is a there is like a deathmatch kind of thing where if you kill someone, you can take their soul, and then like every couple seconds that you hold on to their soul before they take it back, your team gets a point. Everything is team based, by the way. It's all one team versus another team. You can play cooperatively, or you can play 2-on-2 or whatever it is. But it's all team based. There are modes where it's like King of the Hill, where there are spots on the map where if you're standing on them, you get points. Your team gets points. So it's all a matter of like fighting people off, but then staying there yourself. There's a mode that's like basketball, where there's like, except for that, it's a soccer ball. I don't know. It's a game with ball and then the basketball nets, and then like you throw the ball in, but you can like get hit, and people can block, and people can. That's the way you get points.
You mean basketball?
Sure.
The technical term is bucket ball.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah, so there's one where your goal is just to run around and touch all the blocks first to turn them your color. I mean, it basically just there are blocks, and it's a game. But there's a really robust level editor, and the idea is that like some blocks are ice, some blocks have like poison pits, some of them have spikes, some of them have ladders. I mean, it's just like you can make a whole bunch of things. And then like the game plays in playlists where like different maps are in series of three. You can make your own playlists. It's kind of, I mean, again, the single player is this, you know, this interesting teamwork thing that you can also play by yourself. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so much less straightforward as a game.
It seems like a game you should pretty much get for multiplayer. Not to disregard the single player, but
yeah, well,
like the
honestly,
more
I
robust.
Would disregard the single player because the single player, I would, the two player cooperative play is fun. Actually, okay. And I would recommend playing through the campaign that way. Single player, like the levels get modified slightly, so you don't need people to say like help you climb up places or throw you or things like that. But yeah, so it's just this sandbox in a way. Like it's just that there's so much there you can do if you want, and there's a lot of collectibles that you unlock. Prison, like you're a prisoner, quote unquote. It's weird because there's a story, but it's dumb. You're imprisoned by cats with a mind control helmet on your friend.
I've seen the opening cutscene. I thought it was kind of amazing, but
yeah,
maybe
I mean
not.
It's
yeah,
yeah. That's what you're getting through the whole game.
Okay,
but basically you can unlock heads for your character and like of different shapes and types, and it's just fun. And but there are like a few hundred heads. And you get them by like putting your gems into a vending machine, and it just pops out a random one. It pops out one you haven't had before, but like you get them, and then you can trade with other people because like the whole thing is like for the vast majority of the time you're playing the game, you're not going to have all of them. And so like, hey, I want the cat one, or hey, I want the one that looks like a football player, or whatever it is. And so I mean that part's fun, and then you also by playing the campaign only, you can unlock these in multiplayer, which is it's important to go back in the campaign. You also collect balls of yarn that you can trade for weapons. Basically, you have all the same moves, but then you can have one sort of, like, you start with this, like, mine that you throw, and then it's like a, you know, it's a mine. And then you can also get, like, a boomerang, or you can get, like, a thing that shoots ice at people and freezes them, and, like, I don't know. It's very inconsistently fun, but it can totally be fun. Like, I was playing through these modes with some friends to test it out, and, like, the ball game mode was really fun, and the painting mode was really fun, and the one where you got souls was really, really frustrating, but the thing is, you can play whichever ones you want to play and make your own playlists and make your own levels, and I don't know, that part's really fun.
It sounds neat. I'm not super interested in it because of the multiplayer focus, but yep. I really enjoy Castle Crashers. So it sounds like at the very least, if you like that, their aesthetics and their kind of weird gameplay quirks, even if the games are very dissimilar, you might still have a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely have a lot of fun. Especially the best thing is to play 2-on-2 with like people you know. Because okay. The AI is very, like, you can play, like, 4 against the AI, and you can play online. That part works fine. They've been spending a lot of time in the netcode. But, like, in the times where you have to deal with the AI, whether people have dropped out or whether you're just playing locally, it's really inconsistent. Like, again, it's super good at attacking things, but if your objective is not attacking things, then it just has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, paint all the stuff. Well, you're just useless. You're going to go try to hit somebody. Which will stop them from touching stuff, but, like, I don't know. Anyway. But, yeah.
Very cool.
Interesting game.
So, sounds like a good game. All right. Thanks, Graham. Let's move on to second to last, and certainly not second to least. Sean, have you been playing a game?
Certainly not second to least, Sean.
No.
You know what that leaves?
I've been playing a game.
You've been playing a game perhaps called Tokitori 2?
Maybe. Let's confirm nor deny that.
All right, well, let's hear about it.
We actually need you to confirm that.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually true. It. We do. If you have not played that game, then we're going to move on.
Oh, well, I played it, yes.
Aha! You've fallen right into our trap.
Curses.
Now you're forced to tell us about it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You're in big trouble now.
Okay, well, here's how you play it. You chirp at things, and you stomp on things.
I played the whole game now. Thanks for spoiling it for me.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's it. More than any other game I've ever played, and I've played some of it, but yeah. Like, that's it. That's the game.
Yes.
It's super simple, but, like, in the best way.
Yes. Cool. Here's the deal with the chirping. You can queue up 7 of them into a tune, or 7 chirps into a tune. You can either long or short ones, and they do different things like send you back to a checkpoint or tell you where you're supposed to be going, which is nice because I never know where I'm going.
Just in general, really, right?
I wish I had that in real life.
Oh,
anyway.
Man.
You can try to chirp in real life. I don't know if it'll get you anywhere though.
What does the chirp sound like?
That didn't work, did it?
Try again.
Well, it sounded like some manner of chirping.
Keep trying until you go back to a checkpoint.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I think that's a trick.
But yes.
All right. So basically what happens is you are a tiny little bird. You cannot fly. You cannot jump. All you can do is stomp on things and chirp at things. You have to get through all these platforming levels by getting other creatures to do things to let you pass.
Okay.
And they react to your chirping or your stomping in different ways. Like, there's these hermit crabs that have to walk around with dirt on their back. And if you chirp at them, they'll come towards you. But if you stomp near them, they will run away because they think it's an earthquake or something. So that helps change the height barrier so you can climb up things sometimes or just fall through holes if they were in the way. There's other things like there's frogs that will eat bugs and then burp bubbles at you that'll let you fly for a short time. Let's
see. This sounds like a very charming game.
It is very charming. It's
very
bright and colorful, and everything is happy except for the bugs that get eaten.
They seem happy when they get eaten, though.
Oh, okay.
They are. Actually, the only time anyone's not happy is when there's no light. When there's no light, everyone stops moving and has these giant eyes and is scared and crying.
Oh, wow. That sounds terrible.
That sounds pretty good incentive to turn on the lights.
Yeah.
It is.
Basically what happens when the power goes out. I just kind of get sad and start crying for no reason.
Yeah. There are some creatures. I'm not entirely sure what they are. They just look like masks, but they don't like the light. If they get in the light, they fall on the ground, and they won't try to kill you at that point.
Oh, well, that's good. If they're homicidal masks, then
they're homicidal masks. They want to eat the bird.
What system is this one? Jeez.
This is on the Wii U, and it will be on the PC in a month or so, I believe.
It's sometime this summer, I'm going to say. They needed a few months.
Yeah,
it's the thing you never think of that, like, it's so much easier to develop for the PC, but it's so much easier to release on a system that has standardized screen sizes.
Yeah, one of the reasons is that it's not out on PC is because they're having to account for all sorts of different graphics cards and configurations and screen sizes.
Yeah.
And on the Wii U, they could just say, hey, it's a Wii U. This is what it's going to run on.
Yep. But yeah, so when it will release on PC, it'll have Steam Workshop support. Because as the first game, it has like a pretty in-depth level editor. Did you try that out on the Wii U, Sean?
I did not. I didn't even see the option.
Yeah, honestly. So,
there's no menu or UI or anything to tell you what to do.
I mean, there is on the gamepad. Like, some. But on the screen itself, for the PC version, they're gonna have to actually like put things on the screen sometimes.
Yeah.
But for the Wii version, it's just like on your TV, they're not gonna be button prompts or menus or anything. It's just a little bird.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as everyone's happy, I'm happy.
Well,
the bird is always happy unless it dies.
Well, then it's always happy.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to keep the lights on.
It is neat how they were able to take such simple controls.
Yeah.
And make actually some pretty complicated puzzles. Like sometimes I'll sit there and try to figure out what I'm supposed to do for about 30 minutes, then I finally do it. I'm like, oh man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that before?
When you think about like the best puzzle games do that. Like, I mean, you can even think of like Portal, where it's like, well, you have one mechanic, really.
That's it.
Yeah.
And just design good levels around that.
Yeah, but so like, you know, like I know there's some levels where it's like, okay, so you have to lure over this bird, like the little bird, to like pick you up, but then you can't lure over, you know, you can't lure it too close to this thing, it'll get eaten, or you know, then you gotta stomp things away, and like there's a whole thing like just using these different interactions. It's just interesting. And then like generally there's not like a fail state. I mean, kind of, but generally it's like, well, I'll just keep trying until I figure it out.
Yeah, whenever you do fail, you can just play the tune to go back to the checkpoint and everything resets.
Yep.
I haven't figured out what the bats are for yet. Every time I whistle or stomp near a bat, all it does is kill everything it sees.
Well, that's what it's for.
And including me, though.
Right, so don't do it.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right. Well, that sounds like a charming game. Thank you, Sean. Let's go on to our last and also not least
panelist. So wait, who's least?
Okay, so yeah, everybody.
No one is least.
Logic puzzle.
No, you guys can't do that when I'm talking rhetoric.
Pretty sure that means Andrew.
Jeff is not least. Sean is not second least.
We already went over the fact that I'm least.
This sounds like a really bad one of those bad logic puzzles.
That would mean that Sean is at least least.
And one of us is lying. So
yeah.
You guys have to find out which one is lying and which one isn't.
Well, it definitely wasn't me.
Lying.
Huh.
Well, now I don't know what to believe. Jeff, help us out here and talk to us about one of my oldest, dearest, favorite games. Remade for HD
Age of Empires 2.
Remade is a bit of a wide term for basically resizing the game. Oh,
well, hey, it's recent enough to play it again, isn't it?
It looks exactly like the original, but it runs in widescreen.
So it's not full HD or anything like that? Or it is?
Well, it runs in HD resolutions, but it looks exactly the same as it always has.
Oh, okay. Is it still fun?
Yeah.
Great.
It's also kind of buggy.
Oh, really?
That's unfortunate. I know Hidden Path, the Defense Grid developers are working on that. Probably is one of those projects that it didn't want to do when it tried to kickstart Defense Grid 2. but it has to pay the bills. What are the issues that it has that the original game didn't?
Well, the biggest one is if you have more than one screen, the game will just run incredibly slow for no reason until you disable your second screen.
I gotta say, that's probably an edge case.
Yeah, they have mentioned that they're aware of it and it's being worked on.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's basically Age of Empires 2 with the expansion pack that has full Steamworks and Steam Workshop support.
Steam Workshop support.
Yeah, you can.
What can you make? Can
download and make maps and mods with Steam Workshop.
Okay.
Most of them right now are replacing new art with old art.
Are people modding Age of Empires 2 HD into Age of Empires 2?
Yeah, they're like little icons for like food and gold and stuff that got remade because of the making the screen size bigger. They had to increase the size of the UI so it's actually readable in full screen.
Right.
So they made new icons and people are modding and putting back the old ones.
So they want to get rid of the good UI. Or the readable UI, rather.
Yeah, I was going to say, are there mods that make it not readable now as a result? It's like, it's full screen, but you can't read it.
Is there a mod that just eliminates the UI? Yeah, yeah. Is that going to be the bug fix? Is it the second screen is just going to become the UI? And you're going to hold it in your hand?
Yeah, one thing that
and play it on your TV?
Right.
One thing that is a really good addition to this version is Steam matchmaking.
Yeah.
So the more games you play, it sort of learns your skill level and it will match you with equal level players, like most modern strategy games will.
There is no one equal to my skill level at that game.
No, there's one.
I'm not going to elaborate on that.
Is the multiplayer still intact? Are there people playing?
Yeah, there are people playing.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of the biggest reasons to buy it right now. If you have the original and it works just fine and you don't want multiplayer, then there really isn't that much reason to go out for the new version unless you just want to do the achievements.
Well, I mean, native screen resolutions, something that runs, like, designed to run on modern OSs, that kind of stuff. That part's nice.
But I would really wait for some patches to happen.
Yeah. I'm going to hold out for Age of Mythologies HD.
Oh.
I wouldn't be nervous to play Age of Mythologies. I'd be nervous to play Age of Empires 2 multiplayer because I imagine the people that are still playing that are probably haven't been playing it for a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet.
Yeah. Where everybody's better than you and everything. Man.
Just like the people still playing Civilization 3.
So don't or play 2. Online multiplayer, you guys. Play local multiplayer.
Yeah, don't ever. Just don't. Yeah.
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 And but like, but here.
Said, can't win, don't
but
try.
But then you need people that are near you.
Yeah, so just move here.
To South Carolina.
That's not. Come on.
Inside joke, everyone. Don't mind us. But no, I think Graham is actually just telling everyone who listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
To North Carolina.
Actually. Yeah. So everybody.
Internet. Move near Graham.
And he will play games with you.
Yeah. I don't think he wants the entire internet near him.
Right, because that's what I'm trying to avoid.
That might be scary.
That would defeat the purpose of the internet. If everything was there, then you wouldn't need the internet.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
So basically, you're only going to You're only going to be able to get Snack Bar Games content from Graham's house directly. He's going to print out all of the reviews.
I'm just going to tell you. Just,
oh, okay. He's going to
be like,
okay,
hey, Graham, yeah, how's that game? I don't know.
So stand up
hey,
on a soapbox.
About you? And I'll look over to the left. There you are. Because everybody's there.
You shall yell, behold, my opinion on the most recent game releases.
Yeah, and we won't even record a podcast. Gonna...
Which is weird that they'll ask, because they're right there when I'm playing it.
Well, sometimes I got to go do other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, but and then we, instead of a podcast recording it, we'll just stand outside. We'll just stand outside and shout at everyone.
We don't have to shout. They're all right there.
They're all right there.
So, some people are hard of hearing.
Okay. I can see Graham projecting very well, or we can get a megaphone.
I have
a
projector.
So the new version of the podcast will just be us sitting around our table playing a board game while everyone listens.
That sounds like the best.
It does.
I'd be okay with that.
Don't tempt me, you guys. I don't know how I'd make that happen, but still.
You'll kidnap us. I don't. No.
Man. The ends justify the means, though, don't they?
Maybe. Sometimes.
Maybe. Depends on which game you make us play.
Depends which fictional character you're asking, because I know Picard does not believe in that, and I have a hard time going against Picard. He's from Star Trek. All right, that seems like as good a place as any to end it. Thanks, everybody, for all your contributions about the games. For Snack Bar Podcast Episode 253, this is Henry speaking for myself, Andrew, Sean, Graham, and Jeff. Have a nice day.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.